Good morning, Taylor Tabernacle. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Everyone that is in the building, welcome. Everyone that is joining us from Facebook and YouTube Live, we want to welcome you where our pastor is Elder Jonathan Ford, and we welcome you to like and subscribe so that you can join us for fellowship wherever you are. I don't know about anybody else, but I am glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I know I missed some weeks of summertime, and so there is nowhere I would rather be today. So I thank the Lord for that. So if you would stand so that we can honor God and read our scripture for this morning. And our scripture will be coming from Psalms 119, verse 45. And it says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." And that is a very on-time word, particularly for today, as this is our evangelism day. And so we thank God for that. And please remain standing and join me for a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, and we thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for waking us up this morning, oh God. Father God, we know that it is only by your grace and your mercy that we are here today, oh God. Father, we thank you for keeping us. We thank you, Lord, for walking with us, oh God. We thank you for talking with us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in relationship with you, Lord God. Father God, we pray on this day a special prayer, a special covering, oh God, over our evangelism team, oh God, as they walk about and do your word, which is to make disciples, oh God. Father God, we ask that we reach at least one person, for you said the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul. So if we can just reach one person, oh God, that one person will give their life to you, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you. We ask that you would keep them covered under your blood, Lord God. Continue to walk with us, oh God. Continue to keep us, oh God, as we endeavor to do your will, Lord God. Father God, we pray a special prayer over our pastor, Lord God, as he brings us a word from you, Lord. Cover him, oh God. Keep him, oh God. And Father God, we ask that you do that for everyone under the sound of my voice, whether inside or at home, oh God. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for being so good to us. Father, better to us than we could ever be, Lord God. And so we thank you, God. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen. And I'm going to call up our sister Lee Reed to bless us with a selection.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And just as thinking about going out and reaching out, you know, I know that both our churches, we've been participating in Jesus Week and really spreading the love of our God, our Lord and Savior, and what he's done. And so there's a hymn that says, "Make me a blessing," because we want the love of the Lord to shine out of us. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. Oh, Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of
of Christ and his love. Tell of his power to forgive. Others will trust him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Amen.
Hallelujah. Make me a blessing, Lord. And now it is time for the best part of the service. We will have our sermon from our very own Pastor Jonathan Ford.
Good morning and God bless you. Thank God for Sister Leah. What a wonderful song. God make me a blessing. Amen. And as we turn our attention to the text today, it's going to be found in the Gospel of St. Mark, the 14th chapter. We're going to look at verses 26 through 31, and then again, 66 through 72. Okay? So again, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 14, verses 26 to 31, and then 66 to 72. Okay? And then we're just going to add to the witness just these two verses out of Luke, the 22nd chapter, 31 and 32. I know that's not on the slide, so you gotta get that one. Luke 22, 31 and 32. Okay? We'll move you around a little bit, but it'll all be good. Amen? I got specific instructions that I need to preach quick because we got to go out and hit the streets. And so I want to be obedient. I want to be an obedient pastor and follow instructions. Amen. Before we get into the Word of God, let me special thanks to our sister Keisha and John, and our sister Shanita for leading our participation in Jesus Week. You heard, Sister Leah referring to that yesterday. We were out in West Philly, out in Sherwood's Park. Thank God for their leadership. Thank God for Helena and Robert, who were manning the table as well. Thank God Brother Khalil was there. Thank God for all the participants who were out and participating. I think they were saying there were roughly 14 churches, as well as other social service agencies out in the park. What a wonderful sight just to be out there and everybody is about Jesus, sharing the word of God, praying for folks. I stopped at one of the prayer stations, God prayed for, and so that was wonderful. Khalil was there. Like I said, it was just a wonderful time, and Mike wanted to just thank those who participated, who actually came out, manned our table. Thank God for the pretzels, whoever ordered the pretzels. They were a big hit, as always. Amen. So good. Let's look at these passages. Mark 14:26, and then we're going to pick it back up at Mark 66. Okay? So 14:26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. So Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But Peter spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. Amen. Now let's jump down to verse 66. Now, as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. She saw Peter warming himself. She looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But Peter denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. When he went out on the porch, the rooster crowed. Then the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them, meaning this is one of Jesus's disciples. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech proves it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Amen. Now just add this witness and we're down the road. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should fail not. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. Simon, Satan has asked for you. Right? He's out for you. I know because he came to me to ask for permission for you. That he might sift you. Right? How many cooks I got, right? Even if you're not a cook, you had a grandmother who was a cook or is a cook. And all good grandmothers have in their kitchen a what? A sifter. Right? And that what they put the flour and stuff, and they sift, and sifting does what? It separates. Right? That's the purpose of it. You put it in there, shake it about, you bang it, and what? It would sift. It would separate the pure flour. Satan has asked to sift you, to separate you, right? What? From me to him. What's to separate you? But I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Amen. If you got it, say, I got it. This morning, I just want to talk briefly from the subject. Will you betray Jesus? Will you betray? Will you deny Jesus? Right? And so before we get into it, you help me out and just ask, just look at somebody and say, don't answer yet. Rob is the only one helping me out. Don't answer yet. Right? You can't answer till you get to the end. If you answer too quick, you'll answer like Peter. Peter answered quick. I mean, Jesus wasn't even finished and he was out of his mouth already. Right? If I haven't done anything today, I've helped you by just telling you this. Don't answer yet. Just wait. You gotta let it sit a little while before you answer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have today to gather ourselves once again around the Word of God. Thank you for all the people of God that are gathered in this place under your name. Thank you for those that are gathered with us virtually by extension, also under your blood. We thank you that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for all that has been done. We thank you for what your Spirit is doing right now. And we thank you what you will accomplish by your Spirit in the hours, the minutes, and the time shortly thereafter as we head out into the streets to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So even as our young Gabe Curitan prayed this morning, Lord, I pray that we have a good day in church and a good day all day long. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. You may be seated all over the house. So prior to the Passover meal, and you realize we're in the Passion Week of Jesus Christ leading up to his ultimate trial and being handed over to the Romans and ultimately being crucified, which sets the stage for his burial and resurrection. Prior to the Passover meal, Jesus informed the disciples, he said, one of you will betray me. That's what he said prior to the Passover. As they gathered in that upper room, Jesus looked at them and said, one of you will betray you, right? And we spent time on that. We've already talked about the fact that God chooses your betrayer. Not you. God chooses your betrayer. And now he informs them, now that they're coming to the conclusion of the Passover, and now that they're going out to the Mount of Olives to play, now he informs them, he said, all of you will fall away. Just to put another, first he said, one of you will betray me. Now he gets on the other side of the path. Now he says, all of you are going to betray me. He just lays it out there. First, when he said, one of you will betray you, one of you will betray me, the Bible says they all asked to a man, Lord, is it I? Right? Now he comes on the other side of Passover, and now he says, all of you will deny me. Right? Jesus' statement before and after the Passover bring the disciples face to face with the imminence of their own infidelity. Calls them out. Not no longer one, now all of you. Right? As I said before, what a beautiful night Passover is. What a wonderful occasion to gather not only religiously, but also from a perspective of family. The Israelites were commanded to come. Your whole family had to gather. And on Passover, with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not only did your family have to gather, your family had to travel to Jerusalem so that you could celebrate Passover in the holy city. Not only in Jerusalem, but in the congregation of all the other Israelites coming to Jerusalem. And so a beautiful night, a wonderful occasion, a time of fellowship with your family, as well as extended family and friends who you last saw on your trip to Jerusalem, right? So it's a big reunion going on. And during this time, during this occasion, Jesus makes another startling announcement. And that is that all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Jesus really knows how to ruin a good time. It's Passover. All of my sons have come home. All of my daughter, the Bible says, even your servants are invited to come and celebrate. Everybody gets the day off. Everybody is invited. Everyone participates in. It's the closest thing we would equate to it, Thanksgiving or Christmas, where everybody gets together. We celebrate our history, our family, what the Lord has done for us. And right in the middle of this wonderful meal, this wonderful occasion, everybody's home, everybody's back in town, the cousins are in, the distant aunts are in, everybody's here, and we're here for a good cause, a good occasion. Jesus ruins it by saying, one of you will betray me. And then he presses the issue further by saying that all of you will deny me. And then we go, oh my, what is Jesus up to now? Not only will he says you deny, look what he says. He says, you're going to deny me tonight. I'm not talking about something by the time we come back next year for Pat. No. Tonight. Before the night is over, one by one, you're going to betray me. Right? And I don't, whether they recognized it or not, Judas has already left, right, to carry out his betrayal. Right? Right? And we have the ability of looking back on it in history and time and seeing how things unfolded. And so we can look back at it and say, I knew it was Judas from the beginning. Judas looked like a betrayer. I knew it was Judas from the beginning because every time we took up an offering, Judas had new Nikes. I knew it from the beginning. No one had to tell me. I didn't need Jesus to speak a word. I knew out of all of us, Judas was the weakest link. But now he raises the ante by saying, no, it's not just Judas. But they're the great, the real challenge is that before tonight is over, all of you will have denied me. Okay? Jesus really, and you can tell Jesus is a church boy. Because what? Church people are always trying to do what? Spiritualize something. They always got to church it up, right? Anybody, y'all know anybody like that? Are you? Never mind. But church people are always trying to spiritualize something. Look what Jesus said. He said, "Not look, you're going to do this. You're going to follow this night." And then look what he said. For it is written. Now you just called me a betrayer. And now you're going to use scripture to prove I'm a betrayer. I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Now Jesus done went and got churchy on me. You done messed up the evening. We're trying to close out with prayer, right? So we can all go home and start streaming Netflix. And before we leave, you say, oh, we're all going to deny it. And now you get churchy with him. Start quoting scripture, right? So here it is. Jesus knows how to ruin a good time. 28, he says, but after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. So even though he ruins the evening, he gives hope for a lifetime. Right? He ruins the evening by calling us all to our faces betrayers, deniers. But yet he says in this following verse, but after I have been raised, so there's the what? The hope of what? The resurrection. Though he hasn't died yet, though they don't perceive him dying, don't though they don't know that he will die, in spite of the fact that he has told them multiple times. Yet they cannot acknowledge, accept, understand, or comprehend the plan of God or the mission of God, so they don't really know that he's going to die. But he confirms it again. He says, after I have been raised, there's hope in the resurrection. Then he says, I will go before you to Galilee. I'm going to go before you, or looked at it another way, I will meet you in Galilee. So there's hope in the resurrection, and then there is also hope in the regathering of the disciples. Are you with me? If you're with me, say, I've got hope. One of the things I love about Jesus is that he always provides us with hope. He said, yep, you're going to deny me tonight. You're going to betray me tonight. The enemy is going to scatter you tonight, separate you from me tonight. But be encouraged. Why? Because I will be resurrected again. There's hope in that. And we will be regathered again. There's hope in that. Are you with me this Sunday? 1 Peter 1:3 says this, blessed be the God of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at somebody and say, there's hope in the resurrection. As long as Jesus gets back up, there's hope, right? If he would have stayed in the grave, if the stone would have never been rolled back, if he would have never presented himself alive through infallible proofs, we would have no hope. But in spite of our own betrayal, in spite of our own denial of him, Jesus says there's still hope. Help me encourage somebody in the church. Just look at them and say, there's still hope. Not only is there still hope, but more for specifically, there's still hope for you. Right? How many of you realize betrayal is a personal matter? It's not a general thing. Right? I told you, for betrayal to be betrayal, they gotta what? They gotta be close. They gotta know your intimate secrets. They gotta know the stuff that only you, if betrayal is a personal matter. And so it's not that Christ gives hope, but it's that he gives hope for you. Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Good. Rob, let me get one of those towels, Rob, and I'm gonna work myself up. Here it is. Now, 29. We're almost done. Peter, Jesus said, all of you guys, one by one, you're going to leave me. And he said, I can prove it because I got the witness. The witness says that God is going to strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. But he gives us hope, but I will be resurrected. And I will regather you in Galilee. So there's hope. We got hope working. Then Peter says, I told you, you got me off on the right start with this sermon by telling someone what? Don't answer yet. Remember, the question of the day is, will you betray him? Look at somebody and say, don't answer yet. No, it's too quick. It's too quick. Here it is. Peter, answering quick, says what? Even if all are made to stumble, yet not I. are you reading this? Peter said, Jesus just said, you're all going to stumble. He's literally going against what Jesus said. Why? Because he is overconfident. I wish I had a real church. In his own ability or his own faith in himself to stand. So he says, Lord, not I. And so Jesus said to him, that today, even this night, and you realize it's already nighttime, because Passover has to be celebrated after the sun goes down. So it's already nighttime. So you're literally talking within the next few hours. He says, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. Here it is, 31. But he spoke more vehemently. If I have to die with you, I will not deny you. Right? And they all said likewise. All right? We're getting closer to the time. You got to answer. Will you betray Jesus? That's the question of the hour. Not that I literally have an hour to preach. Keisha said I got 20 minutes or so, but it is still the question of the hour. Will you betray Jesus? If you are Peter, Peter is so much like us. Because one of the ways we try to prove a point is oftentimes by raising our voice. You ever notice that? In conversations, friendly conversations turn into heated conversations. Heated conversations often turn into dangerous conversations. And you know what the catalyst often is? Every participant in an attempt to justify their position, their view, their angle on it, does what? Raises their voice. So not only am I going to rebuff what you said, I'm going to rebuff it louder. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So if you understand, that's literally what's going on. Jesus is just as cool and as laid back. He said, Pete, before the night's over, listen what he said. You're going to be the main one. Peter gets on his high horse, Rob. Look what the text says. Vehemently. That means he put his chest into it. Look at it, Jesus. You got to understand who I am. Do I got a witness in my church tonight? And look at this. I'm going to be honest with you. Jesus is cool, but I'm not. I believed Peter. Why wouldn't you? Right? Why wouldn't you believe Peter? Here it is. Peter, one of the first followers of Jesus Christ. That's why I would have believed. Pete was there from the beginning. Peter, an outspoken and ardent disciple of Jesus. When Peter said he wouldn't deny, I don't know about you. I was on the side that, yeah, Pete might make it. Pete might be able to stand. Why? Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. Peter was considered by church theologians to be the chief apostle. Not just an apostle, but the chief apostle. Peter was a pillar in and of the New Testament. I'm trying to tell you why. I don't know how you felt, but I kind of believed Peter when he said that he wouldn't betray him. Peter was part of Jesus's inner circle. Peter was there with James and John. Peter was there when Jesus's raised Jairus's daughter from the dead. Peter was there on the mountain of transfiguration. Peter was there when they came to arrest Jesus. And the only one to provide a defense. So that's why I kind of believe Peter. Now, when he declared, I'll never betray Jesus. I'm one of the closest. I'm one of the most committed. And Lord, I'll never. So I kind of believed Peter, just like I almost believed you when you said, I'll never betray Jesus. Why? Look at the facts. You love Jesus. Look at the facts. You lead the evangelism team. Look at the facts. You're always at church. If anybody I can say was not going to deny Jesus, it would be this one. They're always at church. If anyone I would say would never deny, it would be that one. They're always at the church. They're always helping out. They were the first deacons to be ordained. They were the first ministers to preach the gospel. If anyone is going to stand, if anyone is going to pass the test, it would be Peter. If anyone in here would pass the test of denial and betrayal, I'm on your side. I would tell the Lord, it's you. Look at their record. Look at their resume. Are you with me tonight? So here it is. Now, you got, here it is. 66. Now, Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest enters, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. She's simply saying, you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? Look at what the text says. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. Anybody get it? Let me help you get it. This is Peter. The moment of truth comes. This is what Peter said. I speak no English. Me no understand what you say. That's literally what he's doing. Peter was a Galilean. These were Jews in Rome. So Peter fell to a place where he could deny, saying, I neither know nor understand what you're talking about. Right? Right? If you got, look at someone and say, me no English. Where's my Spanish speaking part of the church? Here it is, me no English. Here it is. But when he said it, it says he went out on the porch and the rooster crowed. Here it is, 69. The servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by. This time she doesn't confront him directly. She confronts those around him. Here it is. She said, this is one of them. This is one of Jesus's disciples. The guy that we got upstairs in Caiaphas' front living room, who we are charging with insurrection, that Jesus guy, this guy is one of him. I seen him run with him down by the Jordan River. I seen him there when he fed the 5,000. Then again, matter of fact, he was the lead guy. Here it is. Here's the witness. And he says what? But he denied them again, verse 70. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech proves it. You may know no English, but you talk like him. Let me warn you, the longer you stay around Christ, you begin to talk like him. You begin to sound like him. You begin to say things like he said. You begin to do things like he did. right? As long as you stay in close connection and close proximity to Christ, you will begin to look like Him. Look at somebody and say, you look like Jesus. Here it is. Here it is. Now I'm done with it. Here it is. And then he, come on, Peter. I voted for you. Come on, Peter. When everyone else stepped back from you, I stood up for you. How are you going to let me? Then he began. This is what we do when we get in arguments. This is what is known as strife. The first part of strife is what? Everyone keeps raising their voice. You keep raising your voice, it'll eventually get too loud. And if I raise my voice and then you raise your voice and we keep escalating until it gets too loud, this is what often happens and is very common for men. We begin to curse and swear in an attempt to prove our point. Look at somebody and tell them, stop cursing. You're out of order. You don't need to go that far. You're already out of order because you raised your voice to Jesus. Look at somebody and say, don't talk to me like that. When I read that, he raised his voice vehemently, I thought of my mother. My mother had a way about it, right? And as I got older and I got bigger and I started lifting weights and I started playing football and started doing my thing, I would begin to confront my mother. I would begin to challenge her authority. And this is what my mother would always say. Watch how you talk to me. Why? There's an order. There's a level of respect that never changes. Regardless of your age, regardless of your authority, you are not over me. She would remind me by saying, watch your tone. You don't talk to me. I'm your mother. Like that. I got enough women to help me put this point over. Look at somebody and say, don't talk to me like that. This guy raised his voice to Jesus. And now we find him raising his voice to those in his company. Not only did he raise his voice, Rob, the text went on to say, now he began to curse and swear. This is the same guy who just a little while ago at the Mount of Olives answered the question by saying, I will never betray Jesus. Just an hour ago, he just said it vehemently. And not many moments later, he denies him not only once, but twice, and then again a third. And the Bible says, as soon as he said it, began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of who you speak. No more translation problem now. I know what you're saying. And let me set the record straight. I do not know the man of whom you speak. Who's the man? Jesus of Nazareth. The one who saved me. The one who baptized me. The one who took me up on the Mount of Transfiguration. The one that showed me things that are yet to come in the I do not know the man of whom. Peter, if you don't know him, who does? You were the closest. You were one of his best friends. How is it that you can deny him? Here it is, second time, verse 72. The rooster crowed. And then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. How many of you know three strikes and you're out. Right? You with me on that? Now help me preach it. Here's the sermon. Tell them, not with Jesus. Right? That's your preaching point. Here it is. I'm wrapping it up. Throughout Mark, the disciples have misunderstood Jesus from Jump Street. And one of them even betrays him secretly, Judas. But Peter's renunciation is the first open denial of Jesus in Mark's gospel. The fact that it comes from the chief apostle makes it all the more significant. Peter does not face a formal trial like Jesus, nor is he questioned about his faith in Jesus. He denies Jesus without ever saying his name. Peter's example is a warning to all disciples, both then and now, that faithful witness to Jesus is most important and most easily betrayed in simple and ordinary actions and words. There's the sermon. I just gave it to you. Here it is. Here it is. Peter's example is a warning for all of us that faithful witness to Jesus is most important and most easily betrayed in simple, ordinary words and actions. If you got it, say, I got it. It is in the everyday matters and moments that disciples are determined to be true martyrs. Here it is. Mark may have concluded this section with Peter's story to remind the persecuted congregation in Rome that even the best Christians, even the chief of apostles, are not immune from betrayal of Jesus Christ. Look at somebody and help me preach. Even the best Christians and the chief of apostles are not immune from betrayal of Jesus Christ, nor is he or she, nor is you or I ever beyond the promise of God's restorative grace. The Roman writer tells 5 in verse 20 that where sin does abound, that grace does much more abound. Look at somebody and say, thank God for grace. This is what Jesus tells Peter. He says, Simon, son, he says, Satan has asked me for you that he might sift you, separate you, tear you apart, tear you from your commitment, tear you from your faith, tear you from your hope. He wants you, and he wants you tonight. And while you thought too much of yourself, and in the final analysis, you denied me not only once, twice, but a third time. But Jesus said to Peter, and in like manner says to us, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus will never betray you. Jesus will never betray us. He will love us to the end. Somebody shout yes. When the brother It's the road. When there's pressure from little girls about our position concerning Christ. When there's pressure from the world. The reason why I didn't want you to answer the question, because it's easy to answer it now. The reason I told him, I said, Khalil, don't answer the question yet. Why? Because it's Sunday. I said, don't wait. Because I saw you starting to mumble something. I said, no, Z, you got to stop. Don't answer yet. It's easy to answer when you're in the household of faith. As long as they were on the Mount of Olives, long as Jesus was there, and the other 10 were with Peter, he answered the question. Only to realize moments later, he answered incorrectly. The chief apostle, the first pastor, the bishop of bishops, answered too quickly. Because he answered during the Passover. He answered why everyone in Jerusalem was praising God. So of course your answer will be yes. But the real challenge is how will you answer the question when Jesus is gone? How do you answer the question when you're not going out with an evangelism team? How do you answer the question late at night, alone and by yourself? That's where Peter was. The 11 wasn't with him. Jesus was upstairs in the living room of Caiaphas and left alone. He betrayed Jesus, not only once, but 3 times. 3 strikes, you're out. According to all measures, Peter should have been out. But thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through and by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Peter, I pray for you. And I love this verse. I love this verse because this fills in the gap when you can't reach your pastor. This fills in the gap when you can't reach your prayer partner by text. This fills in the gap when I'm not at church on Sunday. Because it's easy to answer the question then. It's easy to come up into the prayer line then. When I'm left alone, to my own devices, to my own immoral reflections and injections, that's when betrayal occurs. We read this text. We look at Judas and we assume the betrayal happened when he leaned over and kissed Jesus. Because that was the sign of betrayal, the kiss. But I want you to know as your pastor, the betrayal had already taken place days before. Right? I told you Jesus shoot days before what? Judas went to the chief priest. Betrayal had already set in his heart. when he carried it out was just a matter of whatever. It was a matter of time. But the betrayal had what? Already taken place. Because it took place in his heart. He had already set his heart to do it. He had already made up his mind. This is it. I'm betraying Jesus. The Bible said he went to the chief priest. They didn't call him. They didn't invite him. They thought since he was one of the 12, he would never betray him. Now is the time when you got to answer that question. And I preach this sermon for one reason. Before you answer, talk to Peter. That's all I want you to do. In your prayers tonight, don't talk to Jesus. When you get to heaven, say, transfer me to the chief apostle. Transfer me to the one that, why don't we build 3 tabernacles? One for Elijah, one for Moses, one for the Son of God. Ask for Peter. Because tonight you don't need Jesus. Tonight you need Peter. I know this afternoon you're going to have great faith. I know this afternoon you're going to have great courage. You're going to be witnesses. You're going to express and show the love of Jesus Christ. And that's great and that's wonderful. But you have to answer this question Sunday night. Not Sunday during the day. Not Sunday during church. Not Sunday when you're out with the evangelism team. You're going to have to answer this question tonight. Home alone. By yourself. Will you betray Jesus? Prepare yourself. When you pray tonight, don't ask for Jesus. Speak to Peter. And let him give you his personal testimony. You've got the witness right here. You already know what it is. And so stand up. I'm done with it. It is what it is at this point. So I spent my drive to church eavesdropping on the junior Sunday school class. I audited the class. That's what a good professor does. He sits in. Doesn't make no noise. No. I just sit in. Not for a grade. Not to be. I just sat in on it. Why I preach this message? Because when faced with the weight of the question, many of us will feel pessimistic. What is pessimistic? What is pessimistic? Man, I can't talk this morning to save my life. Pessimistic. I feel down about it. Tyrone, after this message, I'm going to be honest with you because you're my pastor today. I don't know how I'm going to answer. I'm just being honest. Just church folk. I'm just being, after yesterday, I would have told you I got Jesus. But after I've seen what the chief apostle has done, way closer to Jesus than I am, I'm not so sure I'm going to answer. So I'm left with a sense, I'm left feeling pessimistic. I don't feel so good about my answer now. Thanks for the Word of God. Because of the Word of God, I know that even when faced with that question, and I feel like I'm going to let him down. Even when faced with that question, and I do let him down. Peter denied him 3 times. said he told him, Peter, I prayed for you. I prayed for you because your pastor didn't. I prayed for you because your prayer partner was not available. But it was me who stood in the gap for you. That in spite of your failure of me, in spite of your denial of me, I stood up for you. Even when the devil came and said, look at Peter, your best church member. He's the best of what you got. Jesus said, no, no. Jesus said, I'm the best of what the Father has. And I lay my life down so that you will not kill Peter. I told you, he wants to sift you. In those dark moments, alone, private, by yourself, he's doing anything he can to separate you. Anything he can to keep you from coming to church. Anything he can to keep you from, anything he can to keep you from coming out and participating in evangelism. He's trying to sift you. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus stands in the gap. And in spite of our faults, our failures, our shortcomings, he said, I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. So to my junior class, instead of being pessimistic about today's message, now that I got the witness court, I'm actually feeling a little more optimistic. Because when my faith fails, I got the witness that says God himself will step in and put his faith on the line for me. And even if I fail, just like he got up, I wish I had my real church. He's got the power to lift me up again. After the resurrection, Jesus told him, ladies, go tell my disciples. Wait, wait. This is what he said. He said, and Peter. Make sure you tell the chief apostle. Make sure you tell the one that denied me the most. Tell them that I've been resurrected. Tell them that I'm going before him in the Galilee. And there I'm going to regather all of those that love Jesus and long for his appearance. So the question is not whether or not you will betray him. The real question is whether or not you will be there. Will you be there at the regathering? Because at the regathering will be nothing but betrayers. That's the only ones coming to the regathering. The text says what? He said before the night's over, all of you, every last one of you, going to betray. But you're going to be the same ones that when I get to Galilee, I'm going to regather you. I'm going to let you see me in my real glory. I'm going to let you see what the devil couldn't. That God has anointed me to be the Lamb of God, to lay down my life. No one took it from me. I laid it down. Why? For Peter. I knew he would betray me. I told him, but he never believed it. But that didn't stop me from dying for him. And in like manner, And it hasn't stopped him from dying for you. Before it's all over, we'll all answer that question one way or another, Gabe. One way or another, Jacob. And where we are in our maturity will determine whether we feel pessimistic or whether by faith. Faith, not in ourselves. That was Pete's problem. Pete had faith, but it was in the wrong person. But I can feel optimistic when my faith is in God. That even if I falter, even if I fail 3 times, I know the Lord will pick me up again. I know it, Alex. I know it. That's where my optimism comes from. Not because of faith in me, but because of faith in God. We have a hope. A living hope. Not a dead hope. Not wishful thinking. Not positive expressions. This Sunday morning, we have a living hope. And his name is Jesus. And because he lives, Sister Helena, I feel optimistic about today. I feel optimistic about tonight, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. Because my Bible has already told me all things work together. Somehow, some kind of way, God is orchestrating the affairs of my life to do me good and bring me to an expected end. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our prayer is that your kingdom come. And in spite of our faults, our failures, and our own shortcomings, our prayer is still that your will be done. In earth and in this earthen vessel, this clay pot of humanity, let your will be done in earth, in me, even as it is in heaven. Lord, I love you today more than I've ever loved you before. Thank you that the Word of God is littered with fallible men and women. But in spite of our infidelity, you remain connected and concerned about us. Thank you that through your name and through your blood, we have the victory over sin and sinning. Help us as we depart this place and deal with the question of the day. Help us to remember more, not the question, but your answer. That God himself has prayed for me, that he will never leave me. Or will he ever forsake me? For that I thank you. And for that I praise your name. All over the place, give the Lord a soft worship. Something soft. No, no, no. This is not a noisy thing. quiet worship. A worship that's in your heart, not in your mouth, not in the volume. We already see what happened when you raise the volume. Not in the loudness of your hands or anything, but in the quietness of your spirit. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you because I'm Peter. I thank you because I'm just like the chief apostle. If you can remember him, then surely you will remember me. Tell I thank you. What a wonderful audience you have been again on another Sunday. Thank you in advance for all of you for your participation in this afternoon's outreach and evangelism effort. To God be the glory and all the praise.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And if you have heard this message and would like to get to know Christ, the Christ that died and rose for us, please repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sins. However, I am trusting in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe that his shed blood, death, and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving and forgiving me of my sins today. Amen. Amen. If you have accepted this call to salvation today, please visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com and go to our contact page and check the box, I am interested in becoming a Christian, and leave us a short message along with your contact information, and someone from our church will reach out to you and contact you for the next steps. Amen. And if you have a prayer request, again, please visit our website at www.taylortabernacle.com and find our prayer request page or call Taylor Tabernacle at 215-748-4578 and leave us a message. Amen. All right. Now is the time that we move to our time of giving and announcements followed by our benediction. We're going to have our offering coming to us by our deacon, Shanita Scott, and followed by announcements by our deacon, Todd McCoy. And then the next person you'll hear is the pastor for our benediction. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. And at this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor, that's T-A-Y-L-O-R, 61, to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor's Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And lastly, Venmo at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those who gather with us in the sanctuary today, there are two offering baskets on the side over there for tithes and offering. If you would like to give to our pastor, his information is Cash App, Money Sign, Pastor Jonathan Ford, and Venmo at jonathan-ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry.
Hello, everybody. Hello, everybody. All right. Yeah, I've been gone for a couple weeks, but you know, still, I can hear the air conditioning, but I like to hear some people. Amen? Amen. So let's go through our announcements. First, some standard things. Pastor and the leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday, right? Amen. Whether it's in here or online. Amen. Our live stream services will continue via Facebook and YouTube so that you can watch at home if need be, right? But we'd like it if you could make it here. Amen. Now, if you're watching online, you should remember to hit subscribe on the YouTube page or follow us on the Facebook page, at Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle, so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email and address, and we will add you to the list. And one thing I was also thinking about with YouTube, hit subscribe, but also, and I know because I had to watch remotely for a couple weeks, hit that like button. I mean, these are algorithms, right? The more popular something is, the more it comes up on someone else's search. Wouldn't we like to see the Word of God show up on someone else's search? Who knows that one day when that algorithm's going to send it to them, and they're going to say, all right, I'll watch this. And they hear the Word of God. And they may never come through those doors, but it's His tabernacle we're worried about, right? Not specifically those doors. So like, prefer, whatever, spread the word. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, so let's deal with some of the other standard things. Every first Sunday, we'll gather at 8:30 a.m. for in-person corporate prayer, following with morning worship at 10 a.m. Amen? So let's make an effort to make it to that. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study is at 7 p.m., and that's via Google Meets. Those are dynamic events. So if you don't have the KZR-YSBO-OAH, if you don't have it, contact us or rewind this video and get it and sign in on Wednesday nights. Now, same thing with Sunday schools, also on Google Meets, but I don't have all those memorized. So Wednesday night, KZR-YSBO-OAH. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's remember for Sunday school that it's from 8:30 to 9 via Google Meets. We'd like to have our young folks go out and recruit. Remember our pastor's challenge? You want to earn something, invite some folks. Amen? And for all of us teachers and students, we're being audited. Remember that as well, right? Right? You never know. I know because one time he's listening to mine. He's like, yeah, I heard what you were saying this morning. It's all right, right? But it's all for us to what? Hear and study and discuss the word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Train up a child, right? They got to get the word. Amen? Amen. Now, the farmer's market has been moved to September 21st from 12 to 4. There's a nice flyer. I don't know if it's up there. I have it right here. It says farmer's market. Well, I'll make sure so people can see it. But it's us and Bible Union, and it's September 21st. Amen? So we got plenty of time to spread the word on that one, right? Everybody see the flyer? We got plenty of time to spread the word on this, all right? All right, next up, before I get to Celeste, we are with the baptism. I think it's August 18th, is that right? Amen. So for those who have not been baptized, or are interested in baptism, we need you to reach out to us. Amen? Because we don't just walk over there and baptize you. There's a class you have to participate in. Amen? So either you contact a member from the church or call the church, 215-748-4578. If you're here, reach out to me or one of the other deacons, because if you can't get to me and you tell them, they're going to tell me. But there's a course that you have to take. It's one class, but we need to understand what we are doing when we get baptized. Amen? And so the certain thing that's involved in that is that you may have been baptized when you were 2 or 3. But did you understand? If you understood the process, then that's different. More likely than not, you didn't. And that's why we want to make sure. And there are people who were baptized when they were a little child and didn't understand that have gone through a course and said, I want to be baptized again. Amen? Amen. So let's keep that in mind. And the pièce de résistance, excuse me. Part of today's announcements will be the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund. Amen. Amen. And come through it every year. And it's an opportunity for our young folks. Our young folks. Amen. So I'm going to read through some things just so we understand. Celeste Williams was the superintendent of the Taylor Tabernacle Sunday School for over 50 years. 50 years. There's a lot of people in this room that haven't made 50. And if you make 50, it's a blessing. And for those of us who've made 50, we ain't that much older than that. Not all of us, but some of us. So think about that amount of time dedicated to making sure young folks heard the word of God. Amen? That's true dedication. Amen? Amen. So that's why the scholarship is named after her. Amen? She was the superintendent, and for many of the folks that you know in this church, including our pastor and people that are above him, what? Learned under her tutelage. Amen? Amen. So this is important. Now, the scholarship is available to students in elementary through high school. So that's first through 12th grade. The award is presented once a year in July during our back-to-school Sunday service. All right? The requirements. Actually, I think it's going to be in August this year, right? All right. Look at the day, because this, huh? I was about to say it's going to be in August. It says in July, but it's in August this year. Right, but it said July here. That's why I got thrown off. Okay. It's not next week. We got time. Amen. The requirements. The student must be a member of Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. They must be actively participating in the youth ministry. Young life experience. We have youth choir. We have other activities. We have young folks that actively participate out in the garden. We've had the other young folks that have come here on their own time and actively helped to clean up. But we need some involvement from our youth. Amen? Amen. Must be actively participating in the Sunday school. Amen? And the ministry. So again, we're talking about a scholarship for our young folks who want to be involved. Amen? Involved in building his kingdom, which will come up in a moment. Amen? Amen. Must be displaying, wow, got to display some maturity, some responsibility, some involvement. Amen? I'm just going to summarize it like that. Amen? A student, now we know that there are grade requirements. We know there's attendance requirements for Sunday school and in regular school. And we need the transcripts. I got to announce it again, so we'll go in greater detail next week. Because a lot of this information is on the applications. Amen? But we're looking for people who excel. However, we've also given awards for individuals who have been actively involved. Amen? Amen. So don't think, well, I don't have a 4.0, therefore I won't apply. If you got a 4.0 in participation in helping in this house of God, we're going to reward that. And we want you to make that clear to your young folks and your family. Amen. Amen. The deadline for the application will be August 18th, 2024. You need to have a copy of your required documentation, which would be the student report and attendance card, and also the completion of the paper application, which I'm going to just point out one thing, and then I will wrap up and get out of the way for our pastor. And what I want to, indicate is that what the essay topic is today. Amen? So, as most of you know, but some of you don't, when you complete the application, there's an essay topic. And let me give you a specific instruction before I read this topic. Sister Peaches has declared, be creative. Okay? So in other words, don't say, oh, I can't say that. Now you can if it's out of hand. But otherwise, be creative. Okay? Want to be creative? Pray about it. God, how should I answer this question of what I would do? Pray about it. Amen? So, the essay question. If God approached you and asked you, what would you say or do to help build my kingdom? What is your response? So you really do need to pray on that one first, young folks. If God comes in here next week and says, what would you do in your position, in your age group, in your school, in your community? What would you do to help build my kingdom? What would be your response? And Sister Peaches said, what? Be creative. What'd she say? Be creative. So pray on it. Think about it. God's going to reveal it in your heart. And then write it. Amen? Amen. If y'all have any questions, you can see Deaconess Kim. You can see the rest of us, but Deaconess Kim or Reverend Norm, those are the big dogs when it comes to all of it. Amen? Now I'm going to bring back out the true big dog who's ready to go. Amen?
Shall we all stand? With our heads bowed and in the words of Isabella this morning, good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best. Amen. God bless you. Would you all be seated? I'm going to call up our sister Keisha that she might give us instruction and